Morning. Today's scripture reading will be from 1 Corinthians 1, 18 to 31. Christ, the wisdom and power of God. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is, our righteous holiness and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Let us pray. Father in heaven, dear Lord, we thank you once again for this gathering. We are so privileged to be in your name. We thank you so much for your Son and the power of that cross. That is why we are Christians, and we thank you for that. And let us boast your name up high, Lord, and we thank you for that love that you give us through you and, most importantly, your Son. May you be with the pastor, Lord, as he sends your message to us. And may we be very attentive, Lord, as there might be a few things that we need to fix in our lives to be able to walk more rightly and more just, as we are very, very weak human beings, and we need strength, Lord, on a day-to-day basis. In your name I pray. Amen.
Thank you. I was born in a country, Greece, where the cross was found everywhere. Even in the bus, you would see people, when you would go by a church, they would cross themselves, the name cross, Stavros, Stavroula, which means cross or a little cross, has been used and is being used. There are many churches, and there are all kinds of crosses. Now, it's not only Greece. I went to Armenia about a month ago, as you know, and there are hundreds of different kinds of crosses. They call them khachkar, which means stone of cross or cross on a stone. And the cross has been around for centuries. The cross has been either has been worshipped or despised and even hated. The cross became a symbol, if not the symbol, of Christianity in general. I mean, just wearing a cross today means that you are not one of the other religions and you are a Christian. But even that now has changed, and the cross has become meaningless. But as the world's culture and politics change and political correctness become more and more a power that controls our lives, governments, and even our churches, the cross has become hated and even illegal. Mentioning the cross upon which the Lord Jesus died may get a Christian in trouble unless it is used as a swear word. And again, evangelical groups or groups that are evangelical in their tradition or their beliefs will tell you that they are really worried or concerned that eventually it will be forgiven, forbidden to preach about the cross, forbidden to preach about the blood of Jesus Christ, forbidden to even say something that may insult or be against another religion. And so the cross is a symbol that has been hated and is being hated lately. I know that the cross doesn't mean very much to those who don't believe in it, and for those who don't believe on the person of Jesus Christ who died on the cross, and yet people will give almost anything to defend that symbol. Government officials avoid it and want it removed from schools and public places today. In other words, they want the message of the cross not to be heard or seen at all. And there are churches whose message is that you enter a church and in Greece and in other countries and even here in Montreal in Canada, that says we preach Christ and Him crucified. That is the center of our faith, Christ, the crucified Christ. This started 2,000 years ago. Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Corinth, said, and I quote, "The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Jews demand miraculous signs, and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles." As I said, the cross of Jesus Christ has become a stumbling block. As a matter of fact, not the cross, the empty cross, but Jesus, the symbol, the cross symbolizes the death of Jesus Christ. But we also know that Jesus is not on that cross. We're not worshiping the cross. We're not worshiping a symbol. But we are worshiping the person who died on the cross. And you cannot wipe it away completely from the history of, from the human history. The fact that at one given point in our human history, the Son of God, Jesus, came and was crucified on that cross. And for at least a moment in our history, Jesus was on that cross and was bleeding, and His blood was being poured for our salvation. We cannot just remove that page because it doesn't look good, because it's not politically correct, because it insults other religions, and because it's better to preach about nice things, good things, and it's always nicer to talk about eternal life and joy and salvation, and not about a cross where Jesus died, not about the bleeding Jesus on the cross, but the saving Jesus. And it is true that Jesus is a saving Lord and Christ, and yet He died on that cross for the salvation of human race. To those who ignore or reject Christ and His death on the cross and its message seem to be simply foolishness. But to those who have experienced and accepted Christ in their personal lives, the message of the cross is power, life-changing power. And I believe that power is not on the cross. That power is not on the symbol. That symbol does not give any strength, any protection, or anything like that. And yet, that is the symbol where Jesus died. And now, through Jesus Christ, who is alive, we receive power to live. In other words, this foolishness, as unbelievers see it, is precisely the power that changes lives and things. The message of the cross is power. The Greek word is dynamis, or rather dynamitis, which is dynamite. Dynamite is so powerful. I mean, you hear few sticks of dynamite doing so much harm. But this is not few sticks of dynamite. This is the source of all power, the blood of Jesus Christ who died on the cross. Jesus on the cross is not a picture of a defeated and misguided leader nailed on a cross, dying a terrible death. But on the contrary, it is a picture of victory over sin and death. It is supernatural power in action, love in action. Love in action. I believe the ultimate love is found on that cross. I believe that the ultimate power that is found in love comes from Jesus Christ. I mean, today's I love yous and today's of commitments are so conditional that I believe no one can trust anymore when someone says, I love you, because tomorrow it could be, I hate you. But when Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing, he really meant it. He was forgiving all those who were crucifying him. And yet they had to respond to that love. This is the difference between those who believe they believe the universal atonement or universal forgiveness of God, and those who believe accept the word of God that says, and for those who believe, John 3:16 is very clear. Yes, he came to die on the cross to give us eternal life, and he gives us that eternal life when we accept that price he paid on the cross. The message of the cross is ignored and rejected by those who consider it as unbelievable and foolishness. I believe that to those who do not believe in Jesus, for those who do not believe in the atoning power of the blood, all this is foolishness. And I know that some have struggled with it. Some wanted to become Christians and they can't, because they're trying to understand the depth of that love, and they cannot. No one can understand it. We have to accept that love as the gift of God, the Creator, to us. How can a bleeding and dying man on a cross have the power to change lives and things, people ask? How can this dying man lead a nation, defeat the enemies, and bring lasting peace to the poor, the Jews thought? How can this man be the Son of God? How can he save people? But some of those who doubted Jesus and considered the message of the cross foolishness started shaking and running for their lives when, and I quote, the curtain of the temple was torn into two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks split. This is not foolishness. This is power, dynamite. When the Roman soldiers witnessed the power, and I quote the Roman soldiers, they exclaimed, surely he was the Son of God. Here the pagans, seeing the dying Jesus on the cross, their eyes were opened and they understood that he was the Son of God. What is the message of the cross? It is the power that tore open the curtain of the temple and that separated man from God, and is still tearing down curtains and walls that separate us from God. It is true, as the Bible says, that we have been separated from God. When we sinned against God, when Adam and Eve sinned, and then they fell. That sin was transferred and is being transferred from one generation to the other, like a germ, like a disease that goes from one generation to the other. And because we were all going to die an eternal death, God, who loved us so much, sent His Son and died on the cross. That is power. What is the message of the cross? The message of the cross is God loves each one of us, and He offers us that free gift of salvation. The power that shook the earth and split the rocks then is still shaking and splitting rock-like hearts of men and women today. I believe you've heard testimonies. I believe you've watched the movies. I believe you've read testimonies of people who were drug addicts and drug traffickers and hardened criminals who accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, and that rock-like heart melted completely, and they became followers of Jesus Christ. I've seen that even in my family, where there was someone who was very, very hard. His heart had rejected God completely. And when he accepted the Lord, he became just the opposite. A very, very soft and gentle person who worshiped God. The power that broke open the tombs and raised many dead to life then is doing the same today. Many who are spiritually, emotionally, and in other ways dead come alive when they respond to the message of the cross. When I went to Armenia, I met many people whose hearts were hardened by communism, poverty, and corruption. And they really said to me, this heart cannot be changed. It's now hard like a rock. And yet I met others who were the same, but when they accepted the Lord, their hearts melted down. And when we were there and baptized 24 people, some of them I had met 3 years ago, and they had not made a commitment. And yet, after the word fell in their hardened hearts, and when they heard the gospel, and then when they started seeking God, they found God. And then later on they were baptized. That's what the Word of God does. In 1 Corinthians 1:21 we read, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. There is a condition. You must believe. The key here is the phrase, those who believe. But verse 22 presents a sad picture of men and women of all times. It says, Jews demand miraculous signs, and Greeks look for wisdom. To those who do not believe, the message of the cross is foolishness, and Jesus is ignored. That is, until they open their hearts to the message of the cross, which is the power of God and His love for the human race. I met some, and I've been speaking to someone who knows the Bible better than I do. He knows all the evangelists. He knows all the preachers. He knows most of the churches and their doctrines here in Montreal. And yet when I ask him, have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ? Is He your Lord? He says, no. And when I ask him why, he says, well, because it's so confusing. Because you have so many kinds of messages being preached. And he has 101 reasons why he has not accepted the Lord. He feels that the church is full of hypocrites. Which is true. Which is true. But Jesus loved the church. He loved us so much. Even though He knew we were hypocrites. Even though He knew we had rejected Him. even though he knew that many were practicing a religion, like, as I call it, theatrics, just pretend to be religious. He came and died for us. That's how much he loved us. And yes, I would rather go to a church than stay home and accuse people for being hypocrites. At least when I go there, I'll see what the hypocrisy is, and maybe I will ask God to give me the truth. And I believe that many who have rejected the Word of God is they basing their decision on the failures of the human beings, of Christians, rather than the failure of the cross or the message on the cross. Dear friends, from my own experience and from the testimonies of countless true believers in the Bible, which is the Word of God, I have seen and learned that when you are touched by the power of God, the greatest of all miracles takes place. You become a new person. You are born again. That is the greatest miracle. And today, the Bible says the Jews look for miraculous signs, and the Greeks look for wisdom. And yet, when they find wisdom, they don't find God. When they see miracles, they don't find God. When they witness miraculous signs, they may for a moment be excited, and yet they go away empty. Just like it happened when Jesus was on this earth, when 5,000 men plus their wives and children were fed, and they enjoyed this miracle. Obviously, they knew it was a miracle. They didn't see big trucks full of food coming to that area. They didn't see any restaurant. They just saw Jesus blessing few pieces of bread and few fish, and yet they were able to eat. That is the greatest miracle I ever heard of. And yet they went back. And maybe later on, some of those were at the cross shouting, "Crucify him, kill him." And I believe those who look for miracles, they go to churches, to meetings, and to look for a miracle, even if they see the miracle, unless Jesus comes into their life, until they experience the greatest miracle, that is, which is the change of the heart, the melting of the heart, they will never experience the presence of God. The Greeks wanted wisdom. They wanted to talk to Paul and ask him all kinds of questions, debate with him and argue with him. This is happening until today. You go by a Greek restaurant or taverna and you'll see they still are debating and asking and analyzing and trying to solve and resolve problems, and yet they themselves have no peace. Will never find peace, because you can never control this world. The prince of this world is the devil himself. And Jews have been studying. You go by these reading places and you see Jews taking the Bible and reading all day and reading and reading and analyzing, and yet they have not found the Messiah yet. Not all. There are many who have. When Jesus comes into the life of a human being, old broken lives change to a new, meaningful ones. Despair turns to hope, darkness to light, death to life, chaos to order, disorder and ugliness to harmony and beauty. The world demands miraculous signs and wonders, but there is no more powerful sign than that of the message of the cross. No wonder why Paul says, "May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." Do you want to see and experience the power of God? Come to Jesus, the source of all power. The power of the cross is not just a change of life. The power of the cross is a new, dynamic life. This is the life-changing message of the cross. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus, your one and only Son, to die on the cross. We may not understand the depth of that love. We may not understand exactly how this happened. And yet we know that what happened on the cross has changed millions and millions of lives. Lord Jesus, on the cross, you prayed for us. Before the cross, you prayed for us. And Lord, your prayers have been answered. We are here. And yet we now pray for many others who need to be saved. Please touch their lives. Be with us and guide us and protect us from evil. In our journey of life, Lord, may we be always connected to you. Hold our hand and guide us. In your blessed name, I pray, amen.